Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Galatian Church. Galatians, the Epistle of Paul, the Galatians, and the chapter 1. And we commence to read at verse number 1. Galatians chapter 1, commencing to read at the first verse. With your Bibles open, let's follow the reading of God's Word and then keep your Bibles open for the study of the precious and infallible Word of the living God. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal a son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. And now the things which I write unto you, behold, God, or before God, I lie not. Afterward, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Amen. I was just thinking back this week that has passed, this month. It's just amazing how quickly time goes, because this month, 42 years ago, I came to Macrofell to take up the ministry here in Mullaghboy Hill. The previous year, I had the privilege of standing before Presbytery. It was in Sandown Road. I never forget this. I don't know whether these young men still do this or not. But whenever I was being interviewed, they don't do this, but they do stand before Presbytery, but they don't have to preach to Presbytery. And I can remember well that night that in Sandown Road, I had to stand before Dr. Paisley, who was moderator, and the deputy moderator, Dr. Cook, and the rest of the ministers and all of the elders. And I had to preach. Now, of course, I didn't decide what I would preach on, because they said, we want you to preach from Galatians chapter 1. And, you know, it was amazing because the Lord directed me after all of those years back to the chapter that I preached before Presbytery over 43 years ago, near 44 years ago. And I was accepted. Well, I do know the outcome of that preaching. They must have felt sorry for me, but they accepted me, and I went into the theological hall in February in 1968. But as I said, the Lord brought this passage of God's Word, and what they set before me was Galatians chapter 1, 4, and 5. And let's just read that verse, or the verses again. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, whenever I was constrained to preach on this message in these verses, and I started to study here in this first chapter of the book of Galatians. I wonder, have you ever gone into a place, and whenever you've gone into the place, you have sensed that there's a problem there. Maybe you've gone into a home and you sense there's something not right here, or there's a problem here. And friend, whenever you come to the book of Galatians, you'll find that there's not the normal commencement of some of the other books that Paul had written. Because when you read Paul's letter to the Galatian believers, you sense there is something wrong. There is a problem. The book doesn't open with the usual praise to God and the prayer for the saints that you find in some of the other books. But you notice the book simply opens with these words, Paul, an apostle, and then it says, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. You see, the problem was this, that whilst it was true, there were those that had come to Christ, and Paul had been the means of leading many of these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were those that crept in among them and brought false teaching. There were those that brought to them the teaching, bringing them back to the days of the law. And they tried to mix law and grace together because Paul reminded them, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And what we find is this, whenever Paul realized there was a problem in the church, Paul could not sit idly by and let it just happen. He couldn't sit by and do nothing or say nothing. But what Paul, whenever the gospel was under attack, Paul was determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Paul was willing to stand up and to speak up for the Lord, and he did what he exhorts you and me through the Holy Ghost, is that we are to contend earnestly for the faith, and he took a determined stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, what we find in the book of Galatians is this, that Paul, right away, he goes to the serious business of challenging those who had departed from the faith and those that had crept in amongst the people of God to turn them away from the faith. And what Paul does is this. First of all, he reminds them of his own ministry, and then he reminds them of his message. Now, why did Paul say, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who hath raised him from the dead? Because, you see, the problem amongst the people of God, or one of the evidences of the problem, was this, that Paul's apostleship was under attack. There were those that did not believe that the Apostle Paul was one of the apostles. And that's why when he opened the book, before he made ever a greeting or salutation, we find that immediately he says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man. And so he deals with the problem. You see, in the early days of the New Testament church, God calls special men to do special tasks. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, and the chapter 4, it tells us in the fourth chapter there, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, and God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so God gifted these people to the church. There were people who were called for this special task. Now the word apostle, he said, Paul an apostle. The word apostle means one who was sent with a commission. One who was sent with a commission. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, and during his earthly ministry, there were many who followed the Lord Jesus. There were many learners, there were many disciples. If you turn for a moment to the book of Mark's Gospel in chapter 3, you'll find that it says in Mark's Gospel chapter 3, in verse number 7, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. There was a multitude of followers. But the Lord Jesus Christ withdrew himself with his disciples. And then it says in verse 13 of that same chapter that Jesus goeth up into a mountain, and he called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and that's when he ordained 12. And that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. And so we find that these men were selected. He called whom he would, and the Lord's still doing that. Out of all the followers of Jesus Christ, out of all of the learners and disciples, God calls people to be preachers and teachers of the precious word of God. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher. But God calls whom he will. And in the church of Christ, he puts people into special places for the glory and the honor of his name. Now, Paul was not amongst this band. In actual fact, Paul was among the enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be an apostle, it was required that they be a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was not there. Peter, James, and John, they were there, but Paul was not there. And there were those who said they cannot be an apostle because he was not a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, here was Paul's call. He said, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Yes, he's witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But whilst he personally had not stood at the tomb to see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, he met the resurrected Christ. Because when he was on the Damascus Road, it was the Lord, the resurrected Christ, who appeared unto him. And you remember Saul of Tarsus asked the question, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. And friend, God, there upon that Damascus road, the Lord, Paul was confronted with the risen Christ. And he was commissioned by Christ, and his call to apostleship created problems. And the enemies of the apostle, and there will be enemies of the preacher, who stands up and contends for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemies contended that he was not a true apostle. But Paul didn't shy away from the challenge, friend. He was every bit a man. He didn't shy away from the controversy concerning his apostleship. He didn't turn away from his calling in Christ because he was in a day of adversity. Thank God he knew why he was an apostle. He said, listen, I'm an apostle, not of men. I'm an apostle, not by men. And listen, those are simple little words there. You notice this, what he said first of all? He says, I'm an apostle, not of men. And then he said this, I am an apostle, not by men. You say, well, those just off and by, just two wee letters. And both of the words, do they mean anything? Yes, they do, friend. Yes, they do. And Paul is making his declaration because he was one who hated Christ. But praise God, he is now unashamed to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And right away, he opens up the epistle and he says, I'm an apostle. Not by men, neither, or not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ. I said that little word. Let's look first of all. It says, listen, Paul an apostle, not of men. And what he's meaning there is this, he was not sent there by men. He wasn't belonging to men. He wasn't controlled by man. Do you remember the problem in the Corinthian church? Turn to, back there to 1 Corinthians and you'll see there was a problem there too. See, there's no such thing, my friend, as a place that hasn't got problems. But thank God, when you look to the Lord will deal with the problems, and God will overrule the problems, and God will bring you through them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And friend, let me tell you this, where there's strife and where there's envying and when there's division, it's not of God, it is of the flesh. And he says, you walk as men. Look at verse 4. While one saith, I am of Paul. And another says, I am of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? You see, friend, they were torn after certain men. There was a division concerning, they wanted to be affiliated. Some of them wanted to be affiliated with Paul. Some of them wanted to say, no, I want to be with Apollos. I'm on the side of Apollos. Let me tell you, my friend, Paul or Apollos means nothing. They weren't there to preach Paul. They weren't there to preach Apollos. They were there to preach Christ. They were not to be followers of men, because this is what Paul said. I'm an apostle. He says, I'm an apostle. I'm not of man. I'm not controlled by man. I don't belong to man. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I would to God that God's people got that in their heart. I belong to Christ. And it says not of men. That also implies something else, friend. That implies separation. Let me show you that. Turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 14, or sorry, 17, the Lord's Prayer. The high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and go to verse number 13, it says this, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. And then he said this, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. They're not of it. Oh yes, they were in it. But they're not of it. Even as I am not of the world. Verse 16, they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. You see, those who are saved, we don't belong to the world. Yes, we're in it. But we're not to be of it. There's to be a separation. There is a biblical doctrine and teaching in the Word of God, and it is true biblical separation, friend. And we are to be separated unto Christ. And Paul said, listen, I'm not of men. I'm not controlled by man, because I was separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace. He said, my apostleship is not of men. And then notice what he says in verse 1 again of Galatians 1. He says, neither by men. You see, his apostleship was not by human selection, friend. His apostleship was divine appointment. It wasn't by men. It wasn't the result of men. Men didn't make him an apostle. Man did not teach him the gospel. Look what he said. Go down the passage. Look at verse number 11. I certify, brethren, that the gospel which I preached, or which is preached of me, is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's giving all the glory to the Lord. You know, people can learn verses of the Bible and be lost. That's why people can stand in pulpits and still be candidates for hell. Because many pulpits are filled by preachers after men. And all they got, friend, they learned the mechanics of preaching. They learned the art, homiletics, the art of preaching. And friend, if that's all what a young man has, I want to tell you this. He's nothing. If all he has is the art of preaching, or the art of communication, he can put his notes together, he can deliver them, but sad to say, there are those that can do that without conversion. They know the skills of preaching, but they don't know the Savior. And Paul said, listen, you're challenging my apostleship. He said, listen, I'm an apostle not of men, neither by men. But notice what he says. But by Jesus Christ. And he's nailing his colors to the Savior's masthead. See, whenever Paul got saved, what he didn't do was this. He actually didn't go up to Jerusalem, because Paul was there and Peter was there. He didn't go there. The Bible says this, if you go on down the chapter, verse 17. Neither went I to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He went into the desert place. And he sat alone at the feet of Jesus. And Paul reminds them, I was chosen, I was called, I was commissioned by Jesus Christ. And friend, that's what the preacher always needs to remember. His calling was God's calling. He's called of God to preach. And Paul says, that's my ministry. And then he says this, here's my message. Go to verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that that greeting was a part of all of his epistles. You'll find he speaks about grace and he speaks about peace, because, friend, you can't have peace without grace. It's God's grace that brings us peace. Grace means the undeserved, the unmerited favor of God. And rather than turning me over to my due deserts, thank God he has been gracious to me. Oh, the graciousness of God. Amazing grace, John Newton said. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. He says grace, and then he says peace. And thank God our reconciliation to God brings peace. Thank God the hostility's over. I, who once was at enmity with God, Thank God I'm adopted into the family of God. I'm made a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm reconciled. I'm justified. I'm adopted. All of the blessings of the Lord. That's why the hymn writer says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord had done. And friend, God did not do all of these things. God did not reach us in salvation by waving a magic wand. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ who satisfied divine justice at the cross. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes into the verse of the text. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And very quickly, let me just give you a little division. First of all, notice the person. It says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. There's the person. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember our text last Sunday evening? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, the name of Jesus. For God has highly exalted him. And he has given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Notice the words there. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, is that true tonight? Is he yours? Our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul's not talking about a stranger here. Thank God he's talking about his Savior. You know, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. And friend, tonight, that's what's necessary. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's people tonight and they know about him. But they don't know. What did Paul say? That I might know him. Do you know him? Was there a moment in your life, friend, when you turned from darkness to light, called out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you were brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? Can you honestly say this? I know the grace of God. I know the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Himself. That's the person. But here's the second thought. Notice the price. Because it says this, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself. He gave himself. Now, I know that in the sovereign plan of a holy, righteous God, friend, God planned salvation for you and me. And I know that in the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son into this world to die, that you and I might be redeemed. But nobody forced the Son out of heaven. He came voluntarily. I love the words of the Savior when he said this. I laid down my life of myself. I have the power to lay it down. And he says, I have the power to take it again. He says, no man taketh it from me. He gave himself. Have you ever thought about that gift of our Savior? You know, whenever we give things, they can be very costly. But it's usually we give things I often think about the young men out there in Afghanistan and how that many a family has received that news, and even this past few days, homes have got the knock on the door, the call to tell them of their children, their sons, dying in the fields of a foreign land. And they died for freedom. They wanted the call of duty. But friend, God's Son left the glories of heaven. He laid aside the splendor of heaven. You know, the Prime Minister, and it's been so often, I've seen him standing at the dispatch box, and he said, "We will never forget the sacrifice." And I sometimes, friend, I feel those words are empty. But the sad thing is this tonight. The ungodly don't care about the sacrifice of Christ, who gave himself. He gave himself, leaving the glories and the splendors of heaven, and he came down and dwelt amongst men. He gave himself as he walked amongst men. And the Bible says he was wearied. Why? Because he gave him himself. Do you remember when he laid down in the ship that day? The Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity was tired. And the Bible said, listen, that whenever the storm grew up, and the Lord Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Do you see him lying there? For he had given himself in the service of mankind. And going from here, there, and yonder to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, he gave himself. But one day he went to Calvary. And there on that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for you and me. He gave himself. I was reading one of the old hymns before I came into the pulpit tonight. Was it for me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne? The dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me he came to die? Oh yes, it was for me, it was all for me. Oh, love of God, so rich and free. Is your heart ever overwhelmed, friend, with gratitude for what the Savior has done for you? We think of the person. We think of the price. We think of the provision. Notice the next wee part. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Why did he die? Lord Jesus, why did you leave the splendors of heaven? Why did you walk amongst men? Why were you tired and weary with the battle of the day? Lord Jesus, why did you go to the cross and lay down your body upon that old tree and let them put the spikes through your hands and lift you up and plunge that old cross into the socket of the ground? To cry upon the cross, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Why did you do it? Listen. Who gave himself for our sins? You were the cause, and so was I. You and I were the means, friend, of putting him to the cross, because it was for our sins. And you see that word? For our sins. Because of our sins. That's why he was there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Thank God, and through his stripes, thank God, we're healed. He took our place instead of me. He died for my sins. But friend, that was not all. He died for our sins. Listen. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. And the word delivered means picked out and then rescued. He didn't rescue us by taking us out of the world, but by taking our place and our sins and taking us out from under the world's curse and domination. Once we were slaves, but thank God he died for our sins that he might deliver us. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You and I can be more than conquerors in this whole wicked world. Picked us out. Praise God, he delivered us to live in the power of Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't only deliver us from the power of hell. He didn't only deliver us from the penalty of sin, which is hell itself. But thank God, he came to deliver us from this present evil world. And maybe there's some sin in your life tonight. And that sin, my friend, has brought you grief. And you've got defeat instead of victory. Listen, he gave himself to deliver you. To deliver you. Not to leave you under the bondage. Not to leave you to as a slave to some sin of the flesh. But he came to deliver you from this present evil world. And very quickly, in time's away, notice the purpose. According to the will of God and our Father. Says in God's word, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And thank God tonight he died for me. He shed his precious blood with his purpose, according to the will of God. And God gave him a people. And he died for his people's sins. According to the will of God. And God will that he would redeem that people and bring them to glory. And thank God, friend, he'll not stop until he does it. Because he will fulfill. He said, Father, on the cross, Father, it's finished. I've finished the work. What work? The work that thou givest me to do. He came to do the, he says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And I'm glad tonight that I was in the will of God and the purpose of God, for Christ came to redeem me from my sin. And then notice the last thought is this. We've noticed the person and the price and the provision and the purpose, but we don't forget the praise. Because this is what it says in verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, all the glory of my salvation is to Jesus. I was thinking about that, you know. And over in the book of Revelation, let's read this before we finish. In Revelation chapter 4. It says there in verse 9, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are. and we're created. And then go over to chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us priests. Thank God it didn't finish there. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Do you remember what we read this morning in the Psalm 37? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice around the throne, what did they say? We shall reign on the earth. And verse 11, and I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. So let it be. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Yes, to him all the glory. That's what it says in Galatians 1. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, when we think of that, to whom be glory forever and ever, you know, friend, that starts now. Worthy is the Lamb. We're here to glorify the Lord Jesus tonight. We're here to worship at his feet. We've come to the house of God. We've left the world out there. And we've come to hear God's word and to sit at his feet and just to glory in him. Love him. Do you love him tonight? Have you ever thought of what it'll be when all the heavens ring with his praises? Thou art worthy, O Thou, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, tonight, if you don't know the one I'm talking about, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, I beg you tonight, mother, son, daughter, daddy, whoever you are, come to him. For him that cometh to Christ, he will in no wise cast out. May God bless his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I think of the words of the hymn writer, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me from only a sinner condemned, unclean. And yet, Lord, it'll be nothing to the day we stand in your presence, face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be?
when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me, only faintly now I see him. For there's a darkening veil between, but a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Oh, dear sinner, tonight, you'll see Jesus someday. You'll meet him as your judge. And the one with the marks of Calvary on his hands will lift those nail-pierced hands and will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Ye cursed." Oh, dear men and women, I beg you, please don't leave this meeting without Jesus. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and God's people are praying, I wonder if there's someone here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I've heard this message over and over again, but I'm not saved. I know I need to be saved. I know I need the Lord, but I don't know him as my Savior. I've never received him as my Lord." Friend, I beg you, don't leave God's house tonight without coming to him. I'm going to sing one little verse, "Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come." And if there's someone tonight, I beg you, please, friend, don't leave this house without getting by faith to the cross, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Ah, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Oh, may the Lord be glorified tonight in the salvation of your soul.